The Shire of Nanup would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri and Boon Wurrung people of the Noongar Nation as the traditional custodians of the land of which this podcast is recorded on, and we extend our respect to the elders past and present, and we extend that respect to all Aboriginal Australians living within the Shire of Nanup.
I did remark, though, that when I joined the Lions at the age of 60, I could be called the youth officer. It's an aspect of volunteerism that we really do have to work on.
This is the Nanup Oral History Podcast. This afternoon we are talking with Kim Heitman. Kim details the importance of volunteerism, along with the difficulties of community volunteering, the sustainability of volunteering groups, and civic pride. We're very appreciative of you coming to talk to us about yourself and also a little bit about your journey with the Nanup Lions. So welcome, Kim.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to talk to you today.
So can you tell us a bit about yourself?
My name is Kim Heitman. I was born in 1958 to a farming couple in Corrigin. And sadly, my father died when I was a baby and my mother moved to town and became a librarian. And due to her good efforts, I was able to get through school and university, became a lawyer, and I started off as a lawyer in private practice, then became an internet lawyer with internet service providers and so forth, and finished off my career this century with a tour with the University of Western Australia as their general counsel. But after a while, it occurred to me and my wife that it was time for us to retire, and consequently we moved to the southwest on the basis that we were looking for a tree change.
Is that when you moved to Nanup?
We had a good look around the towns around Nanup. Our first thought was Kirrup, it's a nice little place nearby. But as we moved through the towns, we found that Nanup was not only the most charming in terms of its historic and natural beauty, but also it was only about an hour from all the other towns. And as a result, it made a perfect decision to come to Nanup to have our southwest journey from there. So in 2017, my wife Linda and I moved to a rural property in Jalbaragup, just south of the town of Nanup. And we live on 10 acres with a large orchard. We have chickens and ducks and a good set of gardens. And we've very much enjoyed returning to the country to spend our retirement years.
You found this property in Jalbaragup. Tell us about the community, how it differs from your life beforehand.
While we're in the town, we're obviously very busy with our occupations. We're busy raising our family. We had plenty of opportunities to be involved with community groups and organisations, but we didn't know our neighbours at all. And as a contrast, within a day of moving into our premises in Jalbaragup, we were visited by a neighbour who said, "Come down to the fire shed this Friday. The chaps always have a drink on a Friday afternoon and you can come and meet everybody." And out of politeness, I thought that I would make a salutary and possibly one-off effort to meet the neighbours. But anyway, it was not to be. I enjoyed being with the community. I was enjoying learning a lot from them. As a city boy, I had to learn a lot about the practicalities of living in the country, how to drive a tractor, how to use a chainsaw, all these sorts of things which the neighbours had been experts at since they were boys. And it was a very good opportunity for me as a consequence to learn from my neighbours the expertise that they had acquired over their lifetime compared with my expertise gained in an office. So, in short order, I joined the Darradup Volunteer Fire Brigade and became part of that. I now serve as their treasurer and have been on a number of small burns around the neighbourhood during the fire season. I make a point of keeping up with the social events of our Jalbaragup community and try as best I can to be a good neighbour to my friends and neighbours. Apart from that, I joined other community organisations such as the Nanup Music Club, the Nanup Chamber of Commerce and Industry. And one of the side effects of having legal background is that it's quite quickly proposed that I be elevated into executive positions. So I've served on a number of these committees as chair or president and enjoyed the experience very much.
You've been in Nanup 8 years. What changes have you noticed about the Nanup community in that time?
Nanup has boomed in that period of time. And for those people who have watched it week by week, it may have been so incremental not to be noticed. But one of the things I think that points to how things have changed, especially since COVID and lockdowns and the explosion of the price of residential property in the cities, is that all of a sudden Nanup has become an extremely desirable place for people to settle, not only for their retirement, but also to work from home, to be a FIFO worker, to have the opportunity of raising their children in a natural and healthier environment. So, when I first came here, properties were quite depressed and most of the properties for sale in Jalbaragup had been on the market for more than 2 years. They were being heavily discounted for sale. And in all respects, there would be what a real estate agent would call suitable for the motivated buyer. On the contrary, now we have the situation where properties have boomed in value and price. But more importantly, when they're put on the market on a Friday, there's an offer on Saturday at more than is being asked. People are getting gazumped if they don't turn up on the very next day and pay a premium to hold the deal. And what that explains to me is that all of this part of the world, which we enjoy so much, is not only attractive for its historic and natural beauty, but also as a permanent lifestyle and as a place where you could live and raise a family, where you could live and enjoy the benefits of having your grandchildren visit, and where you can retire into your dotage with the sounds of nature around you and the cockatoos, of course. From my perspective, my wife and I agree that we have made such a good decision to give up city life to come to here, and I would strongly recommend for anybody who is feeling that their time in the city is becoming too hectic and too stressed to think about a tree change.
So you're heavily involved in the Nanup Lions Club, which is part of the Lions International Service Community. Can you tell us about that?
In Australia, there's probably about 250 Lions organisations in country towns and in suburbs around Australia. And these Lions communities are designed to give locals an opportunity to serve the community in which they live. And for the Nanup Lions, now formed more than 40 years ago in Nanup, we've had the opportunity over many years to raise funds for charity, to provide fellowship and friendship for men and women who are members or supporters of the Lions, and to provide catering and other community events. Now, Nanup Lions has changed a little bit in its demographics and practices over the 40 years. When it was first formed, and we still have two founding members, Jim Craigie and Jim Green, serving with the Lions. But when it first started off, most of the participants were younger people, and therefore the fundraising activities were manly, mighty things such as wood chopping or providing fence posts or providing loads of firewood. There was quite a number of outdoor activities and running races and so forth when the club was quite new. But worldwide, participation in service clubs is not what it was. Participation in community groups is something which is dwindling but very precious indeed, because these community groups are formed part of civil society, the gap between what an individual can do and what the government won't do. and therefore it provides an opportunity for charity and good works in places and in circumstances where there's no better alternative. And it's a shame that the dwindling of support for such community groups has to be arrested, otherwise we'll be faced with a capability gap which will have to be filled by a succession of hard-working and soon-to-burn-out individuals, or government with raising taxes for all. So, if I have any message to give to the community, it is join your community group. From A to Z, no matter what it is, you'll be making a proper contribution.
Can you tell us about the committee and your meetings?
Now, NatUp Lions is still proudly meeting monthly. We have 13 members currently, and those members participate in the sorts of activities that we can rely on the local support and the capability of our ageing workforce. So it turns out to be a lot of sausage sizzles, a lot of opportunities for catering for Shire events such as the Australia Day breakfast or the Family Fun Day brunch. And we have the capacity to be able to provide catering for community groups where they do not have all the requisite licenses and permissions to put on a public barbecue. And with NatUp Lions into the future, we'll try and maintain our regular catering and fundraising efforts. We'll try and continue to provide help for the community. It is ironic that one of the things that we do, which is the most valuable to some members of the community, is just delivering cut firewood to them. There's a lot of elderly people in our community who have got the entirety of their life together apart from the capacity to chop wood. And if we can just give them firewood for their winter, they are perfectly happy to see another year in NatUp rather than go into care.
That's such a wonderful service that the Lions offer our community. Can you tell us about your annual auction and why it's important?
We have the community bring and donate furniture and other useful household goods. Businesses provide gift cards and services. And what we do is we use that as an opportunity to auction off goods for charity, but also to have the community have the opportunity to bid for household items at a very, very cheap price. And our perfect customer for the auction is a person who's just moved to town in an empty house and needs to have everything from white goods to furniture and only has $100 to spend. Now, if we find ourselves in the situation where we are able to continue that going into the future, it fulfills one missing link in this town insofar as we don't have a second-hand furniture store, and we don't have the capacity for people who are coming and going to either purchase or get rid of their household goods. At the moment, our problem has been for a number of years that we've got nowhere to store the furniture for our annual auction. And we find ourselves in the situation as a consequence where the best we can do is to say to people, the day before the auction, please bring your donations to the rec centre. Now, that is less than ideal. Needless to say, people do like to get rid of their gear more than once a year. And it was much better in years past when we had access to a big shed in the industrial area where we were able to store stuff as it came in all the way through the year. So we had a really big stock of things for the annual auction. So from our perspective, what we'd be able to do is to put all our gear in one place and to have storage capacity for the annual auction. And the state government, when it approved our grant, took our argument that this would be a community benefit and it would be a particular benefit to the Lions Club insofar as we could get all our stuff under one roof and stop paying rent for a storage shed.
I love the Lions train. Can you please tell us about that?
Oh, it's cute. It's a whole lot of little carriages which are look very much like a toy train carriage. It's usually hauled around by a prime mover such as a golf cart or a tractor or a lawnmower. And we bring that out when we have a community event such as the Australia Day breakfast or the Family Fun Day or our Christmas event. And the little kids get in it and we drive them around the paddock. And we drive them around the paddock until they don't want to be driven around the paddock anymore, which usually is a couple of hours. And it's a very amusing and easy way to keep the kiddies entertained and keep them under the eye of an adult while we have these activities. And as a result, it gets stored up from time to time.
Yeah, Family Fun Day, the children love it.
It's one of the nicest things we can do. And we're in the process at the moment getting ourselves a new prime movers and doing a little bit of running repairs on it so it'll be fresh for the new year.
For me, it's a reminder that sometimes the most simple things are the best.
Yes. For children of a certain age, it's a delightful experience. And one of the funniest things that we see, especially on the Family Fun Day, is that the kids sort of 1 to 6 are really having a good time on it. And then eventually their dignity is put to one side and the kids 7 to 12 like to get in. And they also enjoy the experience of being driven around the paddock.
To be honest, I kind of want to have a go, but I'm never sure if I'm allowed.
Our view is if you can sit in the seat, you can.
Do you spend a lot of time communicating with other Lions clubs?
Yes, we are part of an international organisation and therefore we have a distributed management all the way through. So we are part of a district for Western Australia. Under that, there are sub-district zones where we share with 5 or 6 neighbouring towns, and we therefore have state activities and regional activities and reporting structures. We tend to help each other out and to attend conferences that way. But also, Lions is a national organisation. We have an annual conference this year on the Gold Coast, and an international organisation headquartered in Chicago in the United States. And there is an annual conference somewhere in the United States where I imagine some years in the future it'll be a nice visit.
So you're the current chair.
I am currently the secretary of NANUP Lions. The president is Matt White, who is resisting retirement by having a large number of part-time jobs in town. But he is a stalwart for Lions and has a background of service in other clubs.
Anybody else that you'd like to talk about in the Lions Club? I know there's some great people involved.
Yes, one of the nice things about being with Lions is to get the stories and experiences from some of the older members. And I'm first going to bring to mind Jim Craigie, who is one of the founding members of the NANUP Lions Club. He had a long and important role as a farmer in our neighbourhood and has now retired with his wife Di to the town. And his family was responsible for much of the subdivision, which is now Jalbaragup, and has been honoured with the name Craigie Drive, which is one of the roads there. Apart from that, Jim and Isabel Green have been really busy with all sorts of community activities. I sometimes remark to them that they are NANUP's first citizens. They're there at every Shire event. They're there at every community event. They're part and parcel of a number of community groups. And it's to their credit they work very hard in all of the roles they do. And nowadays, he still attends our meetings and has many, many wonderful stories to tell. And one of his favourites is that when she was a mere lass of 16, Taylor Swift toured NANUP. She was at that stage a country singer working as a duet, and it was her first overseas tour, and she toured the eastern states and coincidentally did a show in NANUP. And he's been writing to her ever since, asking her to come back, of course, but sadly, her very busy schedule has delayed her return. But it is interesting, if you hang around long enough, the people who pass through Nanup may become very famous.
Absolutely.
I think we have to acknowledge that the failure of people to wish to participate in community organisations or to see their way of paying back to the community through giving their time as being strongly influenced by everybody being so time poor. When we had the situation where a household had a single income earner working a 35-hour week, you can see that there was more time for people to spend on community activities. Now, with almost all families being dual income, with almost all families having to work extra hours, and with many, many forms of communication no longer being face-to-face, we have found that a lot of people support all of these activities but can't give their time. They would much rather give their money. But what we're not seeing is the generational replacement of any of the volunteer organisations. Now, that's really tough when Lions or the Men's Shed or Rotary or JC's close down. It's sadder when places like the RSL or the CWA or the Chamber of Commerce close down. When it really starts to get critical is when Marine Rescue and St John's Ambulance and Volunteer Fire Brigade start to close down as well, because all of these in rural areas are completely staffed by volunteers. I think this is a crisis of the economy, which is reflected in the collapse in volunteerism. It's not a collapse in empathy. And therefore, what we need to do is to give people the time and the money to be able to form part of a stronger civil society.
What it would mean with taxes and everything if volunteering subsided further?
Well, when there is a fire, somebody has to put it out. It's either put out by volunteers or it's put out by professional fireys. If there are no volunteers, you need more professional fireys. And the equation cannot be diminished.
When I first moved to Nanup, I was really shocked at what volunteers were expected to turn out to, including often death.
You're exactly right.
And I couldn't fathom that my neighbour went to a neighbour's house that had burnt down and he was the one that found him. I couldn't fathom that St John Ambulance would go in a volunteer capacity and deal with road crashes that were fatal. And I in myself feel like, even as a profession with a lot of training, that's something that I can't do. And I was just really shocked at what volunteers were expected or had always done here. And, I mean, my hat off to people that have done it. I couldn't. I don't know. I just couldn't face that. But do you think that sometimes we're expected as volunteers to face things that are just so not a volunteer role?
The trauma that one suffers in the sort of activities that the volunteer service provide cannot be underestimated. When the Eastern States had those dreadful fires a couple of years ago, we had the situation where the volunteer fire brigades there were in constant demand for months, 8-hour shift after 8-hour shift. And not only did they experience property devastation and in many cases tragic death, they also had to experience things that no one should ever experience, like a forest full of screaming, dying koalas. This is too brutal. One thing I can say, and to its credit, DFES and Volunteering Australia have put in place trauma counselling, psychological support, medical support for those people who suffer the consequences of long-term exposure to smoke. They are fully insured against any injuries that they suffer while they're undertaking their volunteer duties. They are provided with a safety net and a hierarchy and professional and online training, which is not far from the sort of training that you get as an employed service provider. So, yes, it's tough on many occasions. My wife spent time as a ambulance officer, and while she was not traumatised by the experience, she'd previously been a nurse, and therefore bodies in distress were not something which pressed her buttons. But nonetheless, it was, on occasion, hard, important work to do. But as soon as you get out of Perth metropolitan area, you're going to find yourself in the situation where most of this stuff has to be done by volunteers. In the past, it was done reasonably well. In the future, the threads are getting a little bare. We might find ourselves in the situation where the threads of that particular safety net become ineffective.
Well, they'd have to live here.
There's nothing that beats local. I had a call out with the fire brigade last year. Someone up the road from me, maybe a 5-minute drive, had one of their planned burn-offs go a little bit astray. And I and my friend Keith were down there within 5 minutes of the call to 000. We were able to contain it before it got out of hand and all was well. And even when we had that extraordinary circumstance some weeks ago when a fellow who was having a domestic argument decided to take it out on the community by lighting not less than 14 fires up and down the road. Because we had a number of fire brigades nearby, we were able to get there with the tankers, put all those little spot fires out before it damaged the community. So it was only a nuisance, it was not a tragedy. And hopefully we'll have the situation where that lasts. I did remark, though, that when I joined the Lions at the age of 60, I could be called the youth officer. And it's an aspect of volunteerism that we really do have to work on. Fortunately, my own bushfire brigade at Darradup is attracting some interest from younger people and some interest from people who are happy to serve in office-bearer positions. As long as we have a few folk coming in and a few people prepared to do the office work, then the brigade can be sustained.
Thanks so much, Kim, for coming to talk to us. It's been a real pleasure.
Okay, thank you very much for asking me.
You've been listening to the Nanup Oral History Podcast. If you are not a Nanupian, please come and visit our small town. We would love you to come. If you are a Nanupian, please share it with your family and friends. We're really proud of this, and we hope you are too.
This podcast was made possible through the successful funding by the Department of Community's Age Friendly Community Program, facilitated through the local government's professionals and supported by the Shire of Nanup. We would like to thank all of those who have shared their stories to make this podcast happen. The podcast has been produced by the Shire of Nanup's Economic and Community Development Team and edited by Simple Ben Stories.